Welcome to episode 46 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Beanie Baby Monkey that is sitting on my microphone. Also brought to you by thesandtrap.com, of course. My name is Eric Barzeski, and the laughing guy is Jeff from Washington.
Hello there, haha.
It's true, I got a Beanie Baby Monkey sitting on my microphone here. We're desperately trying to stretch this episode out, so we don't have a whole lot to talk about, but one of the first things we do have to talk about is Tiger Woods' part of the non-streak. Includes international wins or not, and this one would be a not, where he finished third behind Henrik Stenson and Ernie Els in Dubai, where he was paid $3 million or so to appear. Was seven back heading into Saturday, was three back heading into Sunday, finished in a tie for third. Win streak not continued, not that it had been for quite some time, but
right.
Finishing a third, still a decent performance, but Henrik Stenson really shot a 468 to finish one ahead of Ernie Els, who was leading, and shot a 71.
Yeah, well, Stenson, obviously, boy, he's got a really buttery swing. I enjoyed watching him down the stretch, and he finishes with 68, as you may have mentioned already. Tiger won back from that in the final round, but Stenson earned it. Yeah, he earned it, and Tiger, of course, we saw Tiger stalking the fairways with his sunglasses on, which was certainly odd to look at.
But. Right. Was that a freaky sight or what?
That was a little different.
Stenson, with this win, moves into the top 10 in the official world golf ranking. Pulling that up now, he has 5.29 points. Tiger Woods, of course, now has 20.01 points, with Jim Furyk at 8.57. So... Henrik Stenson at 10th, roughly one-fourth the number of points of Tiger Woods in first place. And Ernie Els moves up to 4th at 6.63 points, so really good for Ernie Els. Of course, Phil Mickelson down at 6th with 5.99, so less than one-third as many points as Tiger Woods. And I mentioned Ernie Els at 6.63 and number 4th because he said that his goal is to replace Tiger Woods at the top within 3 years. He must be feeling good because.
Yeah, well, that's a lofty goal, and maybe that's something, you know, it's a case of it's your dream, make it as big as you want.
I suppose it could be. Jeff Quinney has yet to fulfill his dream of winning on the PGA Tour, despite leading pretty much every day of the FBR Open in Scottsdale at the TPC of Scottsdale. Kind of fell apart there at the end. Bogeys on 17 and 18. You remember. Probably his bogey on 17. Is that one of the biggest dunderhead moves you've seen in a while, or what? Taking a drive now, on the drivable 17th with water left.
And yanking it into the water. That was a major, major whoops. Now, I forget at that point where he was on the leaderboard, but that certainly didn't help his chances.
He was up by two at that point, I believe.
Oh, my goodness.
Or up. He was up by one, I think, because badly he birdied 16, 17. But he was up by one at that point. Had a four-footer for par, missed that. After taking a bad drop, I think Johnny Miller pointed it out on the telecast, that he could have dropped in the fairway and had a better angle.
Right.
Instead, he chose, and that's what I call a choke, when you make a mental mistake, not necessarily an execution mistake, but a mental mistake that often leads to an execution mistake, but still a mental mistake, though, to drop in a bad place and only be able to put the ball to 4 feet. It was a great shot to get it to 4 feet, but had he dropped in a better spot, maybe, you know, 2 feet would have been a good shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would have been really easy for him, as you say, to, you know, bust out a three iron or a hybrid or whatever it was, leave it short of the water, and he could have got it real close with a wedge in hand.
Yeah, and that would be a birdie putt instead of a par putt, but
yep.
Dunking it in the water and threw his club down as soon as he swung. And
well, I think that's just a case of just a rookie mistake, and I doubt that that's something he's going to do again. He's going to be more prone to make a better decision next time around.
Not to take anything away from, and a lot of news was made of, the fact that Jeff Quinney and Aaron Baddeley, the eventual winner, are kind of neighbors. You know, they both live in the same general area, Greyhawk in Scottsdale, Arizona there. But Aaron Baddeley, nothing to take away from him, his win. Congrats to him. His second PGA Tour win, of course, he won at Harbortown last year, or 2 years ago. They're starting to run together.
I think it was last year. Yeah, but I think it was. This is second year in a row.
I also saw Aaron Baddeley three-putt from about 15 feet, so...
Ouch.
And two-putt from 6 inches at the Memorial last year.
Al?
You remember?
I don't remember that short two-putt.
Yes, he two-putted from 6 inches on Friday.
So he wasn't paying attention, obviously.
Yeah, he walked up and kind of set the putter down behind the ball like they do to kind of, you know, just hit the back half of the ball and nudge it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he nudged it forward about 3 inches.
No. Oh.
And this was after dunking a ball in the water. This was on the ninth hole at the Memorial.
Yeah, well, he kind of erased... He erased memory at, well, didn't erase it, but I mean, he put the memory of that behind him by, you birdie three of the final four, and you're the winner. He came in there and he won.
Right.
He won this event, so.
He did, and he putted well throughout the event, so congratulations again to Aaron Baddeley. We'll be right back after this message from Titleist, the ball Aaron Baddeley used to win.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
Welcome back from that ad from Titleist. This week in our forum topic, league member Flap brings up the 16th hole in Arizona at the FBR. So he says, personally, I love it when Phil or another ASU alum comes to that hole. I know the purists don't like it, but they pay the freight, which I don't know what that means. But, you know, I guess the question is...
Phil didn't pay the freight. He wasn't even there this week.
Well, is 16 a good hole for golf? I mean, I think we talked about this last year. What's your take on it?
Probably. I think that so long as it's limited to one event and one hole, fine. But I'd hate to see that mentality spread throughout golf, because golf is what it is. And I appreciate, you know, I mean, it's overdone. It's over hype theatrics. It's overkill, basically. It's fun once in a while. And the 16th hole is, you know, once in a while enough for me. I think, you know, my own personal opinion is that having that spread too far and too wide would, A, diminish the value of the 16th hole at the one event, and diminish what it means to be golf to begin with.
Yeah, well, you know, my take simply is this, that I think that fans, you know, expect the 16th to be what it is, and so they come and they bring it. The thing that I was really refreshed with, I got done watching the Super Bowl yesterday, and then I popped over to the coverage at Dubai. And to me, it was, now, is that right? Am I getting that straight? At any rate, I was watching some golf coverage, whatever it was. I think it was at Dubai. And it was just so serene. You know, there's intense competition, but it was quiet. Golf is just a different sport. And yeah. And I appreciated it for that.
And I think both golf tournaments were more exciting than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. And although the game was pretty good.
They involved a lot less balls rolling around on the ground, too.
Yeah, the Fumble Bowl. Is that what it was called this year?
Rex Grossman, a Super Bowl quarterback. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back again after this other message from Titleist.
To hit the ball more solid off the tee, you need to swing at a pace you can't control and catch the ball right in the middle of the club face.
You want to hit it a little bit longer, try moving it up in your stance just a little.
You got to complete your backswing.
Try a little pause at the top.
Try a bigger shoulder turn.
Grip it more in the fingers and less in the palm.
If you want to hit it big, you got to swing big.
And the most important tip of all,
trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
That was a good shot, too.
Welcome back again from that spot from Titleist. Starting out our Beating Balls segment, Wee's been offered an official spot in the LPGA's first major this year at the Kraft Nabisco. So we're going to see her back on the LPGA, which is going to be a refreshing change from missing the cut at the Sony, etc.
Right. Well, you remember last year she had a chance to get into the playoffs. This is the event in which Kari Webb dunked it on the final hole for an eagle. Lorena Ochoa had to make a 10-foot eagle putt to get in. Mm-hmm. And Michelle Wee had two putts from the fringe, or two shots from the fringe, to get up and down to get into the same playoff. Putted it 10 feet past the hole and missed the comebacker when she chose to chip it instead of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's that tournament from last year. Of course, she's not an LPGA member, so she has to be invited to these events. Certainly be interesting to see whether her game is actually in a big, huge downward spiral, like it would seem from her performance at the Sony and other men's events at the end of last year, or whether she's managed to turn it around and overcome her quote-unquote injury.
or if the pressure being off her and competing against reasonable competition will just take the pressure off her and allow her really to flourish. So we shall have to see about that.
And this is the LPGA major that used to be the Dinosaur, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was okay, I think, if this is the one. But it's very tough to get excited about an LPGA major because, come on, it's named the Kraft Nabisco Championship. That No offense, but that doesn't sound like a major to me.
Right. Well, similar to the McDonald's event last year with Ronald McDonald standing there during the trophy presentation. And I'm
you
just
won a lifetime supply of Happy Meals.
Well, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I understand that the sponsors want some airtime, but it's something really tacky about that. My goodness.
The Masters.
Pass the Cheese Whiz.
The US Open and the British Open. You know, the only good ones on the women's tour are the U.S. Women's Open and the U.S. Women's British Open, presented by Weetabix.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the U.S. Women's Open, they're going to be moving to a three-hole playoff this year. Good move or bad move? Of course, last year we endured the 18-hole playoff between Pat Hurst and Annika Sorenstam.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. I mean, it's up really to the individual event. There's plenty of precedents for sudden death. Three or four hole playoffs or 18 hole playoffs. Of course, in the past, 18 holes was more common on the PGA Tour, and now I think that the LPGA is kind of coming into line with what everyone understands about sudden death, that it creates more interest and it gets it over quicker. That way you're not moving your event to Monday.
Fair enough.
Finish it up.
I agree. I think the move is a good one for the Women's Tour. Quick article here on Tiger Woods' winning percentage on the PGA Tour. What would you, if you had to guess, and obviously you have a pretty good idea, but if you had to guess, what would you say it is?
His winning percentage is somewhere in the neighborhood of 28%.
Yeah, 27.36%. The next closest to him is Ben Hogan at 20.7%.
Right.
Jack Nicklaus, of course, who diluted He diluted his percentage by playing a lot of events later in his career when he wasn't really competitive, but still playing a lot, is 12.2%. But 55 wins, Jack's total is 73 wins. I mean, there's obviously no doubt that Tiger will easily get there, 18 away, in 201 starts versus nearly triple that for Jack. So,
right.
Interesting to see. And, of course, Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson, 20.7, 17.8%, didn't play excessive amounts past their prime. They pretty much hung it up, you know, played a couple tournaments a year, Byron Nelson, of course, especially. So, pretty impressive.
Very.
Of Tiger's impressive feats, there's an article here ranking the 12 best achievements in Tiger Woods' career. Let's see if we agree with some of these. Again, a slow news week, so, like I said, Phil Mickelson sadly wasn't at the FBR Open, so we can't bag on him. No.
As easily.
Tiger Slam, number one here in the list. I don't think too many people will disagree with you there. That winning all four majors within one calendar year holding all four at one time, we'll put it that way, is a shabby achievement in any
way. It's right up there at the top.
Right. 12 major championships, of course, that ranks number two on this list. Six straight national amateur titles. I'd almost give that competition for number two over the 12 major championships. Six straight is tough.
That's incredible.
Especially the junior amateurs that he began winning when he was 15. Which allowed, you know, up to 17-year-olds to play in it. So, very impressive, those. Lowest scores in all four majors. Seven. I mean, that's something that can change with time. You know, par 70s versus par 72s. Seven PGA Tour victories in a row. That's where he's currently at.
That doesn't really rate on the radar for me. That doesn't do much for me. No. And I'm with Tiger there, that I think his winning streak sort of fell off, you know, when he lost at the end of last year.
Yeah,
Obviously,
not on the PGA Tour, but like I said, he seems to have been talked into it again by the press. So
right, the press love it, so he buys into it.
It gives us something to talk about. 55 career PGA Tour victories. That's way down in sixth. So
yeah, that's impressive.
You know the ones above it are good. 142 events without missing a cut comes next at seventh. Seven money titles comes in at eighth. 46 wins by a player in his 20s.
Wow.
For all the talk we have of like how many players are on the PGA Tour in their 20s with three wins or more, and there's like two or one, there's almost none, and he had 46,
unbelievable.
But that's way down at ninth on this list. So 10 straight years in the top 10 on the money list, not terribly impressive in light of his other accomplishments, but comes in at 10th.
Well, obviously follows what we've already heard from this far.
All right, 9 wins in a year, fairly impressive.
Impressive.
And winning 3 different tournaments 5 times.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, it just goes to show, too, that he likes certain courses quite a bit. So, of course, you can weigh in if you want to start a forum thread or something. Tell us how you would rank Tiger's achievements. We could sneak in a Phil Mickelson reference here. Phil Mickelson's top 3 list of achievements would be 3 majors. That'd be number one.
His wins count, which is what, 30? 29, 30 now?
something like that. And number three would have to be that time he polished off 3 gallons of Haagen-Dazs in the same sitting.
Right. That was impressive.
That would be number three, man.
Wasn't that yesterday during the Super Bowl?
It could have been. I don't know. But there, we worked hard, and we got a Phil Mickelson reference in, so there we have
it. Good for us.
That about does it for episode 46 of the Golf Talk Podcast. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more to talk about next week. Or email us with your suggestions or topics, or, hey, let us know that you want to participate in the podcast, and we'll set you up so you can join us. We record Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Like I said, that about does it for episode 46. Thanks for tuning in, and keep them in the fairway.
All right. Bye-bye. Talk to you next time.